You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, highlights, game-by-game breakdowns, interviews with all the local and national experts, and interviews with players and coaches as well, this is the podcast for you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Hello, welcome in. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings here in Sacramento. We've had so many new listeners piling in over the last couple of weeks because of all the chaos of the trade deadline, so if you are new, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here. Sorry we didn't have a podcast yesterday, and sorry too to all my regular listeners who reached out to me on Twitter and on social media asking me where I was and why there wasn't a podcast yesterday. If you can't tell by the sound of my voice and the scratchiness of my voice, I am battling with a little bit of a sickness right now. Really, truly, I probably shouldn't be recording and trying to speak through this podcast here today, but I didn't want you to go back-to-back days without hearing from me, especially after two games over the weekend. The first two games with Harrison Barnes with the Sacramento Kings and two Kings wins. So I had to make sure that I would come in today and try and squeeze something out. Now, this isn't probably going to be the longest podcast on the planet. Normally we go about half an hour or so. This one's not going to be that long. I'm just going to try and power through this, make it as quick as possible, and then hopefully we'll be back to normal and everything will be fine for tomorrow as we get ready for the Sacramento Kings taking on the Denver Nuggets. That is the final game before the All-Star break. So plenty to talk about, plenty to look at, and plenty to break down. Since we last spoke on Friday, now I released a bunch of podcasts last week, a few extra podcasts on Thursday, which is trade deadline day, and then Friday's podcast, you heard me discussing the eighth seed in the playoff race with William from Locked On Clippers. I hope you enjoyed that. Had a lot of good feedback from that. And as of right now, as of today, this very moment, ladies and gentlemen, the Sacramento Kings are in the eighth seed in the West, which is a welcome sight to see. Now, the question is, can they hold on to it with their difficult road schedule coming up? But we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Let's start with the first of the two victories for the Kings over the weekend. Friday night, Sacramento Kings host the Miami Heat. Now, the Miami Heat are not a pushover team by any means. They came into this game actually playing pretty well, coming off of a big win against the Portland Trailblazers on the road. At the time, they were 25-27. They have some matchups that give the Kings problems, including Hassan Whiteside. The Kings have always struggled to try and deal with his length, his shot-blocking ability, and his rebounding inside. And so this matchup was a little bit scary to me because I knew that the Heat were not going to be pushovers by any means, but these were games, especially at home, against Eastern Conference teams that the Kings had to win if they were going to be taken seriously as playoff teams. Not to mention, it was also the debut game for Harrison Barnes as a Sacramento King and for Alec Burks as a Sacramento King. So expectations were high. It was also Dwayne Wade's final game in Sacramento, final game inside the Golden 1 Center. So there were a lot of storylines compiled into this matchup, and it got off to a pretty terrible start, to say the least. The Kings only scored 17 points in the first quarter. Really, about 3.5 quarters of this game were just brutally ugly, and not just for the Kings, for both teams. Shooting percentages were low. The Kings were down by, I believe, the largest deficit they faced was 17 points. They just were not on, and you could see the biggest disappointment that I had in this game was it didn't look like they were trying to incorporate Harrison Barnes in their system. They looked like they were trying to force Harrison Barnes to be comfortable and give him opportunities. And I looked at De'Aaron Fox. We watched De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes get used to playing with one another throughout the course of this game. And Harrison Barnes said as much following the game. He was asked, what's the toughest part about starting with this team, or what is going to be the biggest challenge? And he flat out said just keeping up with De'Aaron Fox because of how fast Fox is and how much this team likes to push the tempo. He's got to get used to that. So it was a bit of a struggle for him. Also, a little bit of a struggle for Alec Burks, although he did provide some good minutes and 9 points and 14 minutes off of the bench. But got to give credit to the Miami Heat defense as well. The Miami Heat defense forced the Kings into a lot of difficult shots. Now, the Kings had a bad shooting night from three-point range. They ended up finishing 34%, 9 of 26. They only shot 41% from the game, 37 out of 90 shots. And you could tell that the Kings were hesitant to take perimeter jump shots because they just weren't falling, and the Heat were doing really well to lock up the paint and not allow any cuts to the basket, any lanes to the basket. They did a good job staying out of foul trouble, and it was a good defensive performance overall for the Miami Heat. Now, the Kings had to match fire with fire. Instead of trying to beat them by running and gunning on them, which just wasn't working for the majority of the night, they had to beat them with defense. And that's what was so awesome about this win, as the Kings ended up getting the win 102-96, is they outscored the Heat 27-13 in the fourth quarter. They forced seven straight stops. The Heat only had 2 points in the final 6.5 minutes of the game. Kings went on a massive run that was sparked by their defense, and that's where Harrison Barnes really made his difference. Now, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the immediate impacts of Harrison Barnes, what we like and what we don't like from him so far out of this brief two-game sample size. We're going to discuss that in the next segment. But the Kings, as a whole, they buckled down on the defensive end, forced bad shots, gotten stops, forced the Miami Heat into 20 turnovers total for the entire game, and that's where the Kings took the most advantage. They ended up being, you know, how many times have we seen the Kings lead for about a 42-45 minute period of a game, being controlled the entire time, like the Miami Heat were against the Kings, and then fall apart, fumble it, and allow the better team to come in and steal the victory at the end? Well, that's what the Kings essentially did to the Miami Heat. I know it was a brutal game for many to sit through. It looked like for a while it was going to be an extremely disappointing loss in the midst of a very tight playoff race, but the Kings find a way to get it done. And then they have a day off. They come back on Sunday for a matinee performance against the Phoenix Suns. Now remember, the Kings took on a shorthanded Phoenix Suns team in Phoenix already twice this year. Devin Booker did not play in either of those games. First game, the Kings absolutely blew them out. Second game, the Kings were blowing them out, then blew the lead. The Suns came back and ended up winning that game. Kings looked pissed off, and they played like it in this game here against Phoenix on Sunday. The Kings showed no mercy on Phoenix, beating them 117-104, and that final score is not a clear indication of how much of a blowout this game really was. Kings outscored the Suns 33-23 in the first quarter, 30-21 in the second quarter. The Suns did win the third and fourth quarters, 28-24 and 32-30, allowing them to make this final score a little bit more respectable. But the Kings had a 25-point lead at one point in this game, and there was never a doubt from start to finish. The Kings were in full control, and the Suns were completely healthy. You saw DeAndre Ayton playing. You saw Devin Booker playing. And this team, this Phoenix Suns team, blows my mind, because I'm not saying that they're good by any means, but they have talent to be competitive, and they're just not competitive, and it's so confusing. They have a lot of work to do now. They're 11-47 on the season after losing to the Kings 117-104. Kings are 30-26, which means they've reached the 30-win mark here in mid-February, which is phenomenal. And on top of that, the Kings are 4 games over .500 for the first time since 2014-2015, which is the same year the Kings fired head coach Mike Malone. So they've finally gotten back to that point that they were at with Malone. Granted, that was at the very beginning of the season. This one is towards the end of the season. And like I said to open up the show, the Kings are now in the 8th seed, sole possession of the 8th seed, which is a brilliant thing to say, something that they are really happy about. Now, the one thing in detail I want to talk about this Phoenix Suns game was the play of Marvin Bagley. 31 minutes of action, finished with 32 points. He actually finished just shy of 32 minutes, 31 minutes and 41 seconds. But he finished 32 points, 11 of 13 from the free throw line. Now, there were way too many free throws in this game that dragged this game out. The Kings shot a total of 44 free throws, which is good. We want to see the Kings get to the line. And then the Suns shot a total of 30 free throws. So 74 free throws total in an entire game that was not close. Ended up dragging it out and making things a little bit boring at times, but Marvin Bagley was worth the price of admission. 32 points, also had 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block. He was all over the place in the stat column, and you could tell this was his first meeting, his first opportunity to get a play against DeAndre Ayton and the Phoenix Suns, and he took advantage of it. He was aggressive on the offensive end of the floor, and he showed why he was the number 2 overall pick in the draft. His career high, 32 points, his first 30-point game of his career, which means hopefully there are many more to come from him, but he looks silky smooth on the offensive end. He's playing with a lot of confidence offensively right now, and what's interesting is he's going back and forth and back and forth. So 4 games ago, he had a struggle of a shooting night, and then he shot well, and then he struggled against the Miami Heat, scoring only 3 points on 6 shots in 20 minutes, and then he comes out and puts a 32 bomb the very next game against the Phoenix Suns. Now, Marvin Bagley had something interesting to say following the game at his post-game press conference that I thought was interesting. He talked about how excited he gets to play the Phoenix Suns because he's playing DeAndre Ayton. I'm sure there's also a little extra incentive there that he wouldn't mention about the fact that they were the number one team and they passed on him and the Kings took him at two. But Marvin Bagley mentioned that the first time he played the Suns was in Summer League, and he didn't look good. DeAndre Ayton looked like the better rookie. He was playing too fast, a little bit out of control. The game wasn't slowing down for him, and it just wasn't his game. And now he's talked about how he's night and day difference from that point, and he played like it in this game with a 32 bomb. So congratulations to Marvin Bagley for the new career high. It was fantastic to see from him, and hopefully we see very many more of those to come. So we have seen two games with Harrison Barnes as the starting small forward of your Sacramento Kings. And first and foremost, I like the fact that Dave Yeager is starting Harrison at the three right out of the gate, even though he's joining a new team. You brought him in to be your small forward. You brought him in to give you small forward depth finally and fill that gaping hole. Why wait to bring him off the bench slowly? Why not just throw him in and allow him to get used to it and take those minutes and work his way into the system by playing through the rough patches, not necessarily watching them and trying to incorporate himself off the bench? I'm glad that Dave Yeager is doing that. It's a positive sight to see for sure. And I've just been very pleased, for the most part, with what I've seen from Harrison. Like I said, in the Miami Heat game, it looked like offensively the Kings were trying to force it to him a little bit. De'Aaron Fox was almost overlooking for him and trying to give him the ball in opportunities where he could score and he could get comfortable. And good on De'Aaron Fox and good on the Kings for trying to incorporate him and complement his style of play. But remember, you're bringing in Harrison Barnes to fit with this core. You're bringing in Harrison Barnes to be a good sidekick, and sidekick has a negative connotation, but you know what I mean. A good floor spacer for De'Aaron Fox, someone to fit well alongside Buddy Hield, someone who on the defensive end and the offensive end can plug those deficiencies and make your core all the stronger. Harrison Barnes is not the number one scoring option or number two scoring option in Sacramento like he was in Dallas, and with the exception of them trying to force it to him a little bit in the Miami Heat game, I thought he looked fantastic against the Phoenix Suns. I thought he's been doing a exactly what you need him to do so far, which is just fitting in. When he has opportunities from outside, he's taking the outside shot, he's attacking the basket, running in transition, which is great to see. You can see he's definitely taken on that challenge, which to me speaks to the work ethic that he has. He recognizes, and he's talked about it in his pregame press conference, how much of a running team, a fast-paced team this team is, and how they're the young upstarts who are trying to make a playoff push and haven't been in the playoffs in a long time and nobody expected them to make it. And he's embraced that mentality, embraced that mindset, and come in and said, I know what they do well. I'm going to help them and join them in what they do well and allow it to open up my game, which I think is a great compliment to a player of the skill of Harrison Barnes. But looking at his numbers in these two games, first against the Miami Heat, finished with 12 points and 7 rebounds, a couple of assists as well, in 37 minutes of action. And then against the Phoenix Suns, he finished with 9 points on 3 of 9 shooting. He did go only 1 of 7 from 3-point range, so tried to force it a little bit too much from deep, could not get it to drop, but he did have 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple of steals as well. And defensively is where I'm seeing the biggest difference with Harrison Barnes. And it's not that he's blowing up any defensive stat column. He's not getting a bunch of steals or getting a bunch of block shots. But Harrison Barnes is just the length that he has. It's night and day difference. Now, no disrespect to Iman Shumpert, because I'm a big fan of Shumpert and I love what he did here in Sacramento, and I wish him all the best in Houston. And I know the players love him, and he's a great guy, great locker room personality. But Iman Shumpert was not playing his true position. Iman Shumpert is 6'5". He's a shooting guard, but he was playing the small forward position. And as great as he was as a defender, and as much as he made up for his lack of size with his athleticism, he didn't have the length to be able to stay in front of and contest shots and change shots for wings in the NBA. And it's because of that that the Kings have had a lot of trouble on the perimeter defensively and also crashing the glass. Harrison Barnes has immediately come in and fixed that. His ability to stay in front of wing offensive players, his ability to just to cut off lanes to the basket and just to change shots. Now, Harrison hasn't recorded a block in either of these two games, but he's changed multiple shots. He's had that big body, that strong frame to be able to stay in front of cutters who normally would blow by Iman Shumpert or would blow by De'Aaron Fox or Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic on the perimeter. Harrison Barnes defensively. Now, a lot of this is eye test. I can't necessarily throw perfect numbers at you because you can't really measure the difference that a guy's body, his size, has on changing shots in the NBA. And that's the biggest difference that I see with Harrison, is just his length, his size, his athleticism. Him truly fitting that wing position has immediately helped the Kings on the defensive end of the floor. He played lockdown defense against Dwayne Wade late against the Miami Heat. He was one of the key reasons why the Kings were able to force 12 or 7 straight shots, rather, and give up only 2 points in the final 6.5 minutes of that game. Harrison Barnes defensively has immediately come in and made an impact. Now, offensively, I'd still like to see him obviously hit more 3-point shots. Going 1 of 7 against the Phoenix Suns is a bit disappointing. Want to see him space the floor a little bit better and cash in on the opportunities when so much attention is on De'Aaron or so much attention is on Buddy Hield or even so much attention is on Marvin Bagley down low. I would like to see Harrison either cutting to the basket or receiving the ball on the perimeter and knocking down those shots more, which he will with time, so defenders have to respect him more. To either he'll make you pay from 3-point range, or you have to make sure you stay on top of him and stay guarding him so that Marvin Bagley or De'Aaron Fox have more room to work down in the paint. It's just little things. And as he plays, he'll get more and more used to it. Now, it's also a weird situation for him because he's only going to have one more game with the Kings before the over week-long All-Star break. So I know it's kind of a tricky situation, weird scenario for him to try and work his way through, and he will work his way through it and be just fine. But the defensive end is where I've been the most pleased with Harrison Barnes, and I'm wondering if you feel the same. Let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Share with me your biggest takeaways, what you've seen from De'Aaron Fox, or sorry, for Harrison Barnes so far, how he's fit alongside De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and Nemanja Bjelica and Bogdan Bogdanovic and all them. Do you think that he was the right move for the Kings to make? I know it's only a 2-game sample size, so we're rushing things a little bit and we're kind of jumping to conclusions, but that's okay. It's for the sake of conversation. Going into this All-Star break, it's going to carry us through. So let me know your thoughts overall on the newest Sacramento King, Harrison Barnes. Before we wrap up, I also have to give massive credit to Willie Cauley-Stein, who has recorded 8 blocks over the last 2 games combined. He had 5 blocks against the Phoenix Suns, and that's an area, his rim protection is an area that the Kings need more from him. And the inconsistencies there, I know, are frustrating to Kings fans, but I hope Kings fans still are able to give Willie the credit that he deserves when he does show up and he does block shots. Just because he doesn't do it consistently doesn't mean you have to dismiss it or still be frustrated at it and not give him the credit that it's due. When he does do it, he was essential for why the why the Kings were able to hold on and beat the Miami Heat. He had his three blocks all came in the fourth quarter against Miami, and then the 5 that he had against the Phoenix Suns. He just established himself in these last 2 games as a crucial rim protector, which is what the Kings need. When you have someone like Willie down there who is blocking shots and who is changing shots because you know he's a presence around the rim, it does wonders for you defensively, especially for your guards, knowing that they can trust you if they get blown by or if they make a mistake defensively. If you have a defensive anchor that can block shots like Willie Cauley-Stein can be behind you, it makes a world of difference. So wanted to give congratulations and props to Willie Cauley-Stein there. Dave Yeager said as much as well in his post-game press conference after the Phoenix Suns game. Gave Willie a lot of credit over the past week, all the efforts that he's been playing through. And I know Willie's been under some scrutiny with some of the comments that he made following the trade deadline, how he was frustrated, upset at the way that Iman Shumpert and Justin Jackson were traded and how they found out that they were traded. I know Kings fans were a little disappointed with his comments because they expected him to be more of a leader and being this his fourth year in the league, more used to stuff like this by now. So I understand that, but overall, Willie Cauley-Stein, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he said the right things since then. He's talked about how well Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks have come in, and they've already incorporated into the system that they're going to be exactly what this Kings team needs to take it to the next level. And then Willie was talking all about the playoff race because that's what it is all about. So the right words and the right mindset from Willie following the Phoenix Suns game, which I thought was good. He deserves a lot of credit for that. I'm still doing the Fans Only podcast at the beginning of March, and I know many of you have sent me requests to be on it. If you want to still be on it, you still have a chance to be on. Email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, or tweet me, @MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, and I will happily try and put you on the list, and I'll let you know when I select the three or four of you that will be on the show in early March. Again, I apologize for not having a podcast yesterday, battling through this sickness. Hopefully it'll be gone and I'll be back to normal tomorrow. And then I also have to let you know that I am off next week going on a little vacation with my wife and my family. So I will not be here, and we will take a week off for the Locked On Kings podcast. I know that's going to disappoint some of you, and I'm so thankful to the many of you that use this as a part of your daily routine. I hope that you choose to come back and don't lose or get rid of the Locked On Kings podcast totally after not listening to it for an entire week. But I promise you, when we get back from the end of that week and when I get back from that vacation, we'll dive right back into the season really hard, get right back into the playoff race. Really, we're only going to miss a podcast for one Kings game, which will be the Kings at the Golden State Warriors. And then we'll have to do, I might do right before I leave on All-Star weekend, at the end of All-Star weekend on Sunday night, I might try and find a way to sneak in a Locked On Kings podcast, then recapping all of All-Star weekend. I'll do my best in order to do that. How about that? That is my promise to you. Again, thank you to everybody who reached out to me wondering where I was yesterday. I'm back. Hopefully, everything will be fine tomorrow and here on and so forth. So, thanks to everybody for listening to today's Locked On Kings podcast. I will talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.